Well, thank you, worship team. A lot of the songs that were selected today are really going to complement the message, and I'm really appreciative of that. Well, today we are in a new series. Last week we ended our previous series entitled The Super God Man in the book of Mark, and we had a lot of fun in that series. But this series, we're going to just, it's going to be a mini series just in the month of April, and it's just basically, we're going to be sharing the gospel from four different angles. And today's angle, if you will, is we're going to be talking about how God is love. Next week, we're going to talk about how God is truth. The week after that, we'll talk about hell and how to avoid it. And the last week is heaven and how to get there. And so looking forward to what God is going to share with us this week and throughout the series. But for today, we're talking about God's love. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be called children of God, and not just children of God, but loved children of God. There are so many reasons for us to sing your praises. And one of these reasons is because of your love. And so today, Lord, we pray that we would better understand your love for us. Lord, I'm also thinking of the Browns, Vern and Judy Brown. I'm not sure if we mentioned them today or not, but we pray that you would bless them with their short-term mission trip with Trans World Radio as they work on a project with them. Lord, bless them, give them wisdom, give them safety, and help them have an impact for your kingdom for the work they're doing with Trans World Radio. And we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, again, we're talking about God's love today, and for some of us, this might seem to be a very, very basic and very, very simple concept. God is love. But for many reasons, there are people in our world and probably even in our church today who are struggling with this concept for a variety of reasons. Let me list a few. Maybe some of us have been taught, maybe in our upbringing or our religious upbringing or whatever, that God is a mean and distant God. He's not interested in you. There are some religions that teach this. Maybe others have experienced some measure of abuse in their life, maybe by a loved one or a friend. And sometimes the way that others treat us, it affects how we view God. And so maybe some of us are living a life in such a way thinking, you know, God's an abusive God. He doesn't really love me. There's a catch to certain things. Maybe there's others who are going through a difficult time right now. Maybe you're going through a trial or suffering, and you question if God is even there and if he loves you. Or maybe you look around the world and you see suffering in the world and you question God's love. Now, the list goes on. There's many reasons why people in our world today question God's love. All that being said, I want to talk to you today about what the Bible says about God's love. And I want to divide this message up into four points. And so we're going to start with the first point. And the first point is this: God is love. This is a very, very foundational point. To some, it might seem very simple, but yet it's very profound. 1 John 4:8 says this: God is love. In other words, this is not something that God does, it's who he is. He is love. For example, I can cook some good eggs. I enjoy my eggs sunny side up, a little gooey, and I can do that well. But that's something I do. It's not something I am. In other words, for God, love isn't just something that God just happens to get to at some point in his life. He is love. It's part of his identity. He defines love. Without God, there would be no such thing as love. You might say that love originates from God. Now, this is in contrast to other religious belief systems that teach that God is impersonal. He's distant. He's disinterested in you. He's mean. He's egotistical. And the list goes on and on and on. The Bible teaches that God is love. The Bible also teaches along these lines that God is loving. He's near. He's interested in us. And would you know, he actually wants a real relationship with you. And through the person of Jesus, we also understand that God is a humble servant as well. He's not a mean, egotistical God, but he came to this earth through the person of Jesus to serve us in so many different ways. I want to turn to Psalm 136 for a second. Many of the Psalms speak of God's love, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But in this Psalm 136, every other phrase or every other line repeats this phrase: his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And so on throughout the entire chapter. But I'm just going to read the first three verses to give you a taste of this psalm. Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. He is good. God's love never fails. Praise the God of all gods. God's love never fails. Praise the Lord of lords. God's love never fails. God is love, and his love never fails. Now, although we're encouraged to understand God's love, it also surpasses our knowledge. There's some irony in this next passage I want to read to you, Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, we just sang about this, how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge. So he challenges us to know this love, but he also acknowledges in the same breath that it surpasses our knowledge. So, in contrast to maybe your upbringing, what you've been taught, what other religions have maybe taught you, your experiences in life, whatever, the Bible teaches that God is love, and contrary to many ideas that circle in our world today, it's an important foundational truth that God is love, which leads us to our second point, which is this. We also sang about this as well today. God loves us. That sounds simple, but yet this is very, very profound, and it flows from our first point. God loves us. Philip Yancey said this. He says, grace teaches us that God loves because of who God is, not because of who we are. Grace teaches us that God loves because of who God is, not because of who we are. The truth is, we don't deserve God's love, nor can we earn God's love. We can't work for it, but he loves us anyways because of who God is. I want to read another passage to you. I referenced this passage a couple of weeks ago, just a couple of verses from it, but I want to read to you the majority of this text. It's from Psalm 139. It's a beautiful psalm that speaks of God's love for us. For many people, this is actually one of their favorite chapters in the book, favorite passage in the Bible. I want to read to you from Psalm 139, verse 1 to 18. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So would you believe that God knows what you're going to say before you even say it? I don't even know how that's possible. He knows when you sit and stand and lie down. He always knows where you are. You think your parents know where you are at all times? Well, God does. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. In other words, you can't escape God's presence. There's nowhere you can go where he can't find you and be with you. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. These are beautiful verses. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The passage goes on, but this passage also speaks of the fact that God knew you before you were born. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and he has countless number of precious and wonderful thoughts about you, which is amazing. In addition, here's another fun fact. In Matthew 10:30. Verse 30, it also says, Jesus says that the hairs on your head are numbered. And he says this in the context of the fact that God cares for you. He loves you. I'm not sure if anyone here has ever bothered to even count their own hairs on their head. Has anyone ever tried that? Show of hands. No one's even tried, yeah. That's your challenge this week, is to count the hairs in your head. Riley, that's your challenge, buddy. Good luck.
I'll need it.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, we as children, for example, we as parents, for example, love our children very much, and we know them well. You know, I know my kids so well that if I ask them if they want to eat chocolate, I know they're going to be excited about that. Or candy, or if I offer to play Nintendo with them, they're going to be excited about that. On the other hand, if I, you know, if I invite them to come and wash dishes with me, or take out the garbage, or do the compost, I know there might be some resistance. I know them that well. my wife, she seems to know the details of what's going on in their lives and every little detail about their bodies. She knows every little rash that comes on. She, when there's a new freckle, she'll discover it on somebody's body. And it's amazing. I'm not, that well when it comes to knowing the details of people's lives and bodies and stuff. I don't pay attention to those many details, but she does. And it's because we love our children. You might even say that we love our children so much and we know them so much that we know them better than they know themselves. And you as parents might relate to that point, that sometimes you love them so much, you know so much about them that you know them more than they even know themselves. And so in a similar way, but on a much infinitely grander scale, God loves you so much that he knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows more details about yourself than you could possibly ever know or possibly even care to know. He knows when you sit and when you stand. He knows where you are at all times. You can't hide from him. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. The hairs on your head are numbered. He knows everything about you because he loves you. He loves you, and you need to know that today. In the person of Jesus, we see that he showed his love in many ways during his ministry on earth. And one of many examples is when a leper came and asked for healing. And Jesus not only did he heal him from a distance, but Jesus actually, he went over and he touched this leper. Now you need to know in that culture, lepers were untouchable. In fact, you weren't just supposed to not touch them. You were supposed to stay far, far away from them as they were walking through town. But Jesus, he reaches out his hand and as he heals him, he touches him. Jesus touches the untouchable. And guess what? Jesus is still in that business today. Jesus is still involved in touching the untouchable, loving the unlovable. And maybe you feel for whatever reason in your life, your own insecurities or history in life or whatever you've done, maybe you feel a sense of one who is untouchable or unlovable or not worthy of God's love. But you need to know, whatever you think, that God loves you. He loves you so much. C.S. Lewis said, though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. And we can be confident in the fact that God loves us. Let's go to the next point, point number three. God loves us through difficult times. God loves us through difficult times. Some of us, when we go through difficult times, whatever that may look like, we might question God's presence or if God really does love us. Or like I said earlier, maybe people look at what's going on in the world and we see the suffering that takes place in our world and we question, where is God and is he a loving God? Well, today I'm not going to address why suffering exists. I simply want to stress the fact that God loves us through trials and the sufferings that we face. He's always there and he will never leave us no matter what we face. The Apostle Paul was one who experienced intense trials, intense sufferings, persecutions, etc. And he wrote this about God's love for us. He said this in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. He said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what happens in life, no matter what trial you go through, no matter what you're experiencing right now, nothing can separate us from God's love, no matter what difficult times we face. I'm going to share with you a poem that many of you are probably very familiar with. I think as a child, my parents had this poem in a picture frame on the wall at some point. Maybe you have too. Let me read this to you. It's called Footprints in the Sand. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. A beautiful poem that reminds us that through our trials and sufferings in life, God never leaves us. He never abandons us. And in fact, he carries us. I'm going to direct your attention to the screen behind me as you watch a music video that complements this idea. It's called Shoulders.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Check out the rest of the video on your own on YouTube. That song, again, is called Shoulders by King and Country. Perhaps another real-life illustration. We have a brother here, Silas, who you notice he's got a broken foot here, and he shared with me a story recently that really encouraged me. He broke his foot recently in a bad way, and he went out for coffee with a friend, And they're just catching up, and all of a sudden they were interrupted by a stranger. Perhaps maybe had a bit of a foul mouth and just walked over and was starting up a conversation with Silas about what he experienced and why he was in that situation and why he seemed to be doing so well in the situation. I mean, there's more to the story. I'm paraphrasing. But Silas simply responded in this way, something along these lines. He said, "Because of my faith in God, I know that God is in control and that I can have hope and confidence in him." And I know that this has been a struggle for you physically and in your business as well, but it's great to know that you have that confidence and assurance in God, that he has your best interest in mind. And that story can be an encouragement for us as well, that we can be confident no matter what trials we face, because we know that God is with us, he's out for our best interest, and that he loves us, he truly loves us through the difficult times in life. Anyways, whether you're experiencing trials, setbacks, suffering, persecution, or discipline, by the way, you need to know that God sometimes will discipline us. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 11 say that, and you can look that up on your own later. But regardless of whatever difficult times we face or suffering that we face, you need to know that God loves us. He will never leave us, no matter what trials we go through. Franklin Graham said this: no matter what storm you face, you need to know that God loves you. He has not abandoned you. And the last point that I want to share with you today is number 4. God's ultimate act of love was the cross. God's ultimate act of love was the cross. The truth is that all of us were separated from God because of our sin. It was a hopeless situation, because no matter what we tried, we couldn't get right with God in our own power. And as a result, out of love, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could be reconciled to God. We just celebrated this over Easter. Romans 5 is a beautiful passage. I'm going to read a couple of verses from that chapter, Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The crazy thing about this passage, it just blows my mind, is that later on in this passage calls us God's enemies. In other words, God didn't die for good people. When he died for you and I, he did not die for good people. He died for his enemies, because we sinned against God, and by sinning against God, we became his enemies. But God did this out of love. It's the ultimate act of love. John 15:13 says this. Jesus spoke these words. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And so to lay down your life for someone is the ultimate act of love, and that's what Jesus did for us. Billy Graham said this: "God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, 'I love you.'" God's ultimate act of love was the cross. So as we close, I want to remind you of a few things that we talked about today. Number one, that God is love. Very foundational, very simple, but so profound. Such a profound point. God is love. Number two, God loves us. Number three, God loves you through difficult times. Whatever difficult times you face, God will love you through it. And lastly, God's ultimate act of love was the cross. And so today, I'm not sure who is here today or where you're at with God, but I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus on the basis of God's love today. And if you would like to do this, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that acknowledges our sin before God, expresses our belief in his death and resurrection, and our desire to follow him in every area of our life. And so maybe there's someone sitting here today who has struggled with God's love, this concept of God's love. But you need to know that God loves you more than you will ever understand or know. And he desperately wants a relationship with you. He's not a distant and impersonal and disinterested God. He wants to have a relationship with you today. And so would you put your faith in him on the basis of his love, that he loves you? Now, if you today want to put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to get you to follow after me in the quietness of your heart. So I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. And so again, if you would like to put your faith in Jesus, repeat after me in the quietness of your own heart. Let's pray. God, I come before you today and I acknowledge that I have fallen short of your perfect standard. I have sinned against you. I'm so sorry. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you so much for your forgiveness in my life. I believe you rose from the dead 3 days later. Holy Spirit, come into my life, guide and direct me to live for you and follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time today, I would encourage you to talk to someone on the prayer team after the service so they can pray with you. In addition, as we talk about a prayer at the end of the service, there might be someone here who is struggling with this concept of love for God. Maybe you're going through something right now and you're questioning God's love for you. Maybe you're suffering and you just need someone to help and pray with you. Maybe you're the kind of person, like we talked about earlier on, maybe you feel unworthy of God's love and maybe you need to be encouraged in the Lord. And you're welcome to come forward and have someone pray with you as well. Let me pray. God, thank you for your love for us. It's more than we can possibly comprehend. Thank you for your death on the cross and for saving us so that we can be reconciled with you and secure a place in eternity with you. We love you, Lord. And the only reason we can say that we love you, Lord, is because you loved us first. And thank you, Lord, so much for your love, and we praise you for that. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.